Hallelujah. How many glad he's a way maker? You say, in my life, he's a way maker. I can testify. Let me see your hand. He said, I can testify. God's a way maker. He's a need meter. He's a door opener. Amen. He's a miracle worker. Amen. I said, he'll be whatever you call him and believe him to be. Amen. He's a way maker. Praise God. You know, I remember my sweet mama. She's been in heaven so many years now, since 1984. Man. And, but my sweet mama, I was fortunate enough to share the gospel with her, and she gave her life to Jesus. And I'll never forget when my mama called me, and I was in college, and she said, first, because she kept saying, Billy, you got born again. Now you're just reading the Bible, read the Bible, read the Bible. And she said, you're going to lose your mind over the Bible. And I said, Mama, I'm gaining my mind. I'm in my right mind because of the Bible. She said, well, when I get up, I open the door to your room, you're in there reading the Bible. She said, at night, before I go to bed, I peek in your room, you're still reading the Bible. She said, you shouldn't be reading the Bible that much. But then she got born again, and all she did was read her Bible. She'd always say, she'd call it the scripture. She'd mispronounce it, you know, and I'd say, Mama, it's scripture. She said, that's what I said, boy, go get the scripture. Let's read the scripture together. And so we'd go read the scripture. And, you know, we were just new to the things of the Lord, new to the things of faith. My mama had cancer, and I'll never forget, she had cancer in her brain, and the cancer had eaten her optic nerve. Now, I forget which eye it was. I think it was her left eye. Anyway, the cancer had completely eaten away her optic nerve. She was completely blind in her left eye. The muscles were still attached, and her eye moved normally, and nobody but our family knew that she was blind, completely blind. I mean, she couldn't see a thing in her left eye. So she just depended on the vision in her right eye, and she was completely blind, although nobody would know it, in her left eye. And so we got to talking about healing. I was reading some books by Brother Hagin, and I started sharing some things with my mom about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I never forget, because I was going back to college, and I said, Mama, I have found out about this New Testament experience. It's valid. There's a second experience beyond salvation that's available for every New Testament believer. It's known as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And my mom, so she said, you're going to have to show it to me in the scripture. And so we started looking at it, you know, and I had to go back to school. And I said, Mama, when I come back, then we'll go back through these scriptures on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll be back home next weekend. She said, okay. But then she called me during the week, and she said, baby, some of my friends have invited me to this meeting, a woman's meeting called Women Aglow. And she said, I don't know anything about it. She said, should I go to that? I said, oh, Mama, you need to go to that. I said, those are Holy Ghost-filled women. Go to that. And she said, well, it's on Friday night, the night you coming home. I said, Mama, don't worry about me. I'll see you when I get home. You go to that meeting. They believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just like I was telling you about. So she said, okay. So she went. So my mama, I never forget, I got home on that Friday night, but I knew where my mom wasn't home, and I knew she was at that meeting, you know, and one of her friends called me, and she said, Billy, she said, can you come over here and pick up your mama? I said, is something wrong? They said, your mama got filled with the Holy Spirit tonight. She's drunk in the Holy Ghost, and she can't speak English. We can't even get her to the car. I went over there and picked up my mama, and she was speaking. She spoke in tongues all the way home, and she spoke in tongues for about 2 hours at home after that. She couldn't speak a word of English. She got so gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost. And then I started telling my mama, I said, well, Mama, you know that healing is real. Jesus also paid the price, not just for our sins, but he also paid the price, took stripes, in fact, for our healing. Healing is the children's bread. And so we had just started studying that, and I had to went back to school, you know. And so anyway, my mama, she called me one night, and this was shortly after we had started talking about healing. And she went to a church service. It wasn't her church. She went to a Baptist church. She went to another church, and there was a healing evangelist there in that church. And my mom, she wasn't from that church, and so she slipped in on the back row, was sitting on the very back row of the church. And when my mom called me, she said, Bill, she said, I went to this church tonight, and a healing evangelist was there. And she said, baby, she said, I was at the very back of the church. The church was full. I was at the very back, on the last row. And she said, that evangelist, he came out of the pulpit, walked right down the aisle. He walked right to the back row. Then he looked over at me and said, you there, step out in the aisle. And she said, I looked around because I knew he wasn't talking about me. And he said, no, you. And she said, me? Yes, you. Step out in the aisle. And she said, I stepped out in the aisle. And she said, he told me, the Lord shows me you're blind. I think it was her left eye. You're blind, completely blind in your left eye. And she said, yeah, I am. He said, the Lord shows me you can't see a thing out of your left. She said, yeah, I am. And so then he said, well, in the name of Jesus, I command that eye to open. And my mama said instantly, just like you snapped your finger, sight popped back into her left eye and she could see perfect. She said he even covered up my good eye, my you know, the eye that I could see out of, and I could see everything crystal clear. Then she said something to me that made my heart drop. She said, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that. How can I see? I don't have an optic nerve. And she said, so on the way home, I started telling God, I shouldn't be able to see. I said, oh, Mama, please don't tell me that you said that. She said, this is the thing. That, she said, I said that all the way home. I kept saying, how can I see? How can I see out of this eye? She said, I drove home with perfect vision. She said, I kept saying, how can I see? How can I see? I can't. I'm not supposed to see. I don't even have an optic nerve. I can't see out of this eye. And she said, I kept saying it and kept saying it. And she said, when I pulled in our driveway, the sight that I had left as fast as you snapped your finger. And I said, oh, Mom, doubt and unbelief. God did a miracle for you. And I said, you know, it. You know, when God does something for us, we have to stand in faith to hold on to it. And my mama, I prayed for her. My mama never regained sight in that eye. She went on to heaven shortly after that. But I saw her in a dream. She said, I know that healing's real. And I know that everything you told me about healing's real. And she said, I just got tired of fighting. I wanted to go be with Jesus. Don't be mad at me. I was mad at her. But tonight, if you'll turn to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. The title of this message, if you can believe it, you can receive it. But if you doubt it, you're going to have to do without it. I said, he's a miracle worker. Our God is a way maker. He's a need meter. He's a door opener. And if you can believe it, you can receive it. But if you doubt it, you're going to have to do without it. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 5, the setting is Israel has disobeyed God. And because of their disobedience, God has allowed the Chaldeans to come in and capture Jerusalem. And so it's just one of the saddest moments, because here is Israel with a covenant promise of God's protection. But because of their unbelief and their constant disobedience, they refused to believe that God was, they refused to do what God told them, and they refused to believe what God said to them. And God allowed, through their disobedience and their unbelief, he allowed the Chaldeans to come in and capture them. And it was prophesied that their captivity would be for a limited period of time, 70 years, this Babylonian captivity. And in the midst of it, God says to He says to Jeremiah, he says, I want you to go and buy a field. And he tells Jeremiah to buy a field at the most inopportune time. Here it is, the Chaldeans have already taken over the land. Anybody who owned anything doesn't own it anymore. And God tells Jeremiah, go and buy the field and make sure there are witnesses and make sure you seal the deed, because I'm going to bring you and Israel back to this place. And I want this deed recorded so that you'll know that you're not without hope. You're not without, I'm going to turn it around. Even through Israel's disobedience, I'm going to turn this situation around, and Israel's going to come back to this land that I gave them. And so he buys the deed, he buys the land, and everyone thinks he's crazy. Now you're in Jeremiah 32, verse 16. After I'd given the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neriah, then I prayed to the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. I like that. How many know we serve a God tonight that it doesn't matter what you are facing, there is nothing that is too difficult for him. Things may be difficult for you and things may be difficult for me, but things are not, there's absolutely nothing that's too difficult for him. And Jeremiah looking at that situation saying, you want me to buy this field by faith. I'm buying a field by faith because you're promising to bring me into the good land. I'm stepping out by faith. He said, I'm spending this money by faith because God spoke to me. I'm standing on your word. Jeremiah said, in effect, if you said it, it's going to come to pass. He was saying, it doesn't look like it would come to pass. It seems impossible what you've told me to do. We're being taken captive. It seems impossible. But if you said it, I'll do it. I said, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is made perfect toward him. He's looking for somebody who will believe tonight. What are you facing, my friend? What circumstances are you facing? So often people spend time dwelling on how difficult their circumstances are, and they spend very little time dwelling on the fact that our God, there's no obstacle that's bigger than him. There's no situation bigger than him. There's nothing too difficult for him. Later in this chapter, look over at verse 26. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? God's looking for somebody tonight, a man or a woman, a girl or a boy who will say, Lord, it doesn't matter what I'm facing. There's absolutely nothing that's too difficult for you. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I remember 2016 when I went through a divorce. It seemed insurmountable. It seemed the circumstances just seemed so huge. Oh, but the Lord let me know there's nothing too difficult for me. And I tell you, it doesn't matter what you're facing down there on the job. Doesn't matter what you're going through. You say, I'm facing challenges in my body. I'm facing situations in my home. I'm facing circumstances with my family. Whatever your issue is, nothing. There's nothing you're facing tonight. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Nothing you're going through is too difficult for him. Jeremiah had it right. He said, ah, Lord God, nothing's too difficult for you. Nothing's too difficult for you. And when God identified himself, he said, Jeremiah, there's nothing too difficult for me. And God's waiting for someone to agree with him that there's nothing too difficult for him. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. You say, brother, you don't know the challenge that I'm facing in my body. Oh, I may not know what you're facing, but I know nothing's too difficult for him. I know that if you'll use faith in the name of Jesus, I know that if you'll believe in your heart and speak with your mouth and confess God's word, hey, there's nothing too difficult for him. God can do anything but fail. He's a mountain mover. He's an earth shaker. He's a miracle worker. He's a door opener. There's nothing too difficult for him when one child of God will stand in faith and believe his word. I remember I had to sell my home after the divorce, I had to sell my home and I put the home on the market and I was having trouble selling it because it needed a new roof. And I didn't even know it, but when we bought that house years before, they had put a new roof on that house, but they didn't take the old roof off. They just put a brand new roof on top of an old roof. How many know that's going to eventually lead to problems? So the roof never leaked or anything, but when we went to sell the house, the only thing that they said we had to replace was the roof. And then because there was an old roof underneath the roof they had put on, both roofs were old now, you know, both of them were old. But when we bought the house, the roof was new, and they had put a new roof on an old roof. Now they're both old. And so to replace those roofs, $24,000. And didn't have any money to replace a roof. Oh, but our God, he's a miracle worker. Even when you can't see it, he can work. Even when you can't feel it, he can work. You say, well, I'm looking at my checkbook right now, Brother Bill, and I need to say, hey, you don't have to, it doesn't matter what's in your checkbook tonight, he's still working. I said, if you'll believe, he's still working right now. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. And so $24,000, I did not have any money for the roof. I didn't have any money to allot to that. And I said, Father, I don't know how I'm going to do that. Even one Sunday I came to church, and when I came to church, when I got home, my real estate agent, he called me. He said, Bill, he said, your neighbor actually called me, and your neighbor said that someone had come to your house while you were at church. The neighbor said you backed out to go to church, and shortly after somebody came to your house, they walked all around your house. They were looking in the windows, and he said, then your neighbor said they kept pointing at that roof. And your neighbor said, man, they just kept walking around pointing that roof. And your neighbor said, he's never going to sell that house without changing that roof. And so in my time with the Lord, it just seemed so daunting. And I said, Lord, I've got to come up with this sum of money to replace the roof. And you know, the Lord told me, I entered into worship, entered into praise, and the Lord told me this, you already know what to do about that. You already know what to do about that. And of course, then as I thought about it, I said, okay. And the Lord told me this. He said, you need to get my promises in your heart and then speak to that roof. You need to go out there and speak to that roof. And you need to speak to your house and tell it to sell in the name of Jesus. You already know what to do. And I remember because when I first went out, I read a couple of his promises, and then I went outside and I looked at that roof, and I could see the blemishes and the flaws in the roof, and I spoke to the roof that the roof was going to be replaced, and it seemed like the roof talked back to me. It seemed like the roof told me, you ain't got the money to replace me. Where are you getting the money from? I went on back inside. But the Lord told me again, you keep speaking to that roof and you get my word firm. You need to get my word on this area. See, you can have the word in one area of your life and not have the word strong in another area. A brother can't get an amen teaching like that. I said, you can be strong in faith in one area of your life. You might be strong in faith in healing and then not have your faith developed in your finances. I wish I could get a bigger amen than that. And so the Lord said, you need to get your mind developed. And so, man, I got after it real quick. And every day, I decided every day when I back out and then when I come home for lunch, whenever I back out and come back in that driveway, I'm going to speak to that roof. And I kept telling, I have a brand new roof in the name of Jesus. And I started looking at it, but this time I couldn't see the flaws and the blemishes. I could see a new roof. And I remember when my agent, Scott, he called me out of the blue one day. And he said, Bill, he said, man, he said, listen, he said, I have a new insurance product. And he said, I can't offer it just to all of my clients. He said, it's a specialized product. You have to have been with this company for more than 10 years. You qualify. You have to have paid all your premiums. You qualify. You have to have never had had very few claims. And he said, you qualify. He said, so I just, without asking you, I went ahead and switched you over to this new premium policy. And I said, okay, well, Scott, what does that mean? What does that mean? What's the bottom line? What does that mean? And he said, well, you know, you're going to have higher coverage for a lower premium. Blah. And then finally I said, what does that mean about my roof? Wait a minute, let's talk about my roof, because my roof wasn't covered by my insurance because it was a wood shake roof. And the year before my divorce, my insurance company called, it had been insured all those years. The year before the divorce, they contacted me and said, you're going to have to replace your roof. It's a wood shake roof, and that's a very expensive kind of roof, but it's also a fire hazard now. And they said, we can't cover that. So we have to pull that from your policy. You replace it, you let us know when you do, and then we'll cover it again. And of course, then going through the divorce, and I've already told you that story. So he said, I said, what does that mean for my roof? He said, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Your roof is covered. He said, now one thing about it, you're going to have to come up with the, you're going to have to pay the, what do you call the deductible. And he said, it's different. It's not your normal deductible for your home. He said, this is going to be different. You're going to have to pay a higher deductible for us to, I said, okay, whatever it is, I'll pay it. He said, well, for this one though, he said, Bill, it's going to be $7,000. And I said, okay, I'll pay it. I didn't have the $7,000. Man, that time I'm paying attorneys. I'm paying some of everything. And so, but I said, okay, no problem. I'll pay it. I just added that to my prayer time, my confession. And I said, I have all $7,000. I have every penny of it. Then I forget, Scott called me again. He said, Bill, you know, the strangest thing has happened. I said, what's that? He said, well, I have to replace your, you know, we're putting a 50-year roof on your house. He said, but the thing about it is, he said, what, Bill, what are you talking about? I said, God's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's a door opener. Scott, he told me this. He said, the strangest thing, he said, you know, I'm trying to get all the things, our paperwork straightened out, but I have to replace the value of your roof. A wood shake roof, which they don't make anymore for houses because of the fire hazard. He said, they don't make that roof anymore, but it's way more expensive even than the 50-year roof that we're going to put on your house. We're putting the best roof we can put. The best roof there is, we're putting on your house. It's a 50-year roof, transferable warranty. He said, but the wood shake roof costs even more than that. So by law, I have to pay you the difference between the value of the wood shake roof and the 50-year roof, which is the best you can get right now. And I said, well, how much is that? He said, that's $7,000. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, he's a miracle worker. He's a need meter. Yeah, he's a door opener. And then, I never forget, so they put the new roof on, house sold in 2 weeks. Within 2 weeks, the house sold. They didn't even have the roof on, the house sold. They just had the product in the driveway, the house sold. And then the roofer came over, and he said, Bill, I got to tell you something. I said, sure. He said, they put the roof on the house, and he said to me, we put the roof on there. Your neighbor came out and got me before I got back in my truck, and your neighbor was just commenting on how beautiful that roof looks. And he said, so I told your neighbor, you want me to look at your roof? And he said, yeah. So he said, I got out of my truck, got my ladder, went up on his roof, looked at his roof, and it looked like he needed a new roof. We called his insurance company. They approved it right away. Your neighbor's getting a new roof. He said, I'm just going to give you a $500 referral. Can you see it? I went from needing $24,000 to needing $7,000 to needing zero to they put $500 in my pocket. I wish I had a bigger amen. That may not mean nothing to you. I said, he's a way maker. He's a need meter. He's a door opener. Is anything too difficult for him? Look with me real quick. Let's go. Look with me real quick in the time that we have. Let's go to the, look with me in Psalm 77, I believe. Go to Psalm 77. Let me make sure I got you in the right psalm. What I want is verse 14. I've worn this heading out on this. This might be 78. Somebody tell me if I'm in the right one. Verse 14, then he led them with a cloud by day and all of the night with a light of fire. And he split the rocks in the wilderness and he gave them abundant drink like the ocean depths. That's 15. Am I in 77 or 78? 78. Okay, thank you. I've worn the thing off of my the title. 78. Yeah, 78. I see it. Okay. So 78, 13 again. He divided the sea, caused them to pass through. He made the water stand up like a heap, and then he led them with the cloud by day and all the night with the light of fire, and he split rocks in the wilderness and gave them abundant drink like the ocean depth, and he brought forth streams also from the rock and caused waters to run down the like rivers. Yet they still continued to sin against him, to rebel against the Most High in the desert. And in their heart, they put God to the test by asking for food according to their desire. And then they spoke against God, and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rock so that waters gushed out, streams were overflowing. Can he give bread also? Will he provide meat for his people? So you can see what's happening here. It's describing the process of doubt and unbelief in the children of Israel and how they refused to believe God. These people, as you know, had been led out of Egypt by a mighty miracle-working God. And yet in the desert, they refused to believe. The moment they got to the desert and they faced new circumstances, they refused to believe. But can I tell you this? If God did it before for you, he'll do it again. I said, whatever you're believing the Lord for, if he did it before, he will do it again. If we'll believe it again. Can I say it that way? Sometimes we want him to do it again. We don't want to believe it again. Israel got in the desert and said, Lord, do it again. We don't want to believe it though. And they said, listen, can you bring water from, and God brought water from a rock. They said, can you bring us bread? He bought them manna. They said, okay, you bought us water. 2.5 million people. You bought us water. You bought us bread. What about meat? Can you provide it to me? They kept testing God in the desert. And sometimes unwittingly, believers do the same thing. God's done something for you. God's worked out a mighty miracle for you. And then you need him later and you begin to doubt what the Lord is doing or what he can do. Listen, my brother and sister, don't doubt what the Lord can do. If you'll trust him, he'll bring you through it. I said he'll bring you through it. Look, one more scripture with me. Well, two more scriptures. Listen, go with me to Genesis this time. Go with me to Genesis. Two more scriptures tonight. Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 9, three men who are really angels appear to Abraham. God made Abraham a promise when he's 75 years old that he was going to have a son. And Abraham and Sarah were trusting God to honor his promise. But then just before it happens, the year before it happens, three men show up. They are angels sent from heaven. And at verse 9, they say to Abraham, they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, there in the tent. And he said, I will surely return to you at this time next year. And behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age, and Sarah was past childbearing. And Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure? Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I'm so old? Verse 14, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? Can you see it there? And at the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah denied it, however, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Sarah had lost sight of the fact that nothing is too hard for God. My friend, I don't know what you're facing tonight, but I do know this. The Lord sent me here to tell you that nothing's too hard for him. And if you'll get your eyes off your problem and get your eyes and heart onto your promise, I said every promise in the book is ours. And if you'll get that promise coming out of your mouth, I said nothing is too hard for God. Faith works that way. Faith works believing in the heart, speaking with the mouth. And there's nothing God won't change for you according to his word if you'll believe it and confess it. And so what is it that you're facing? What is it that you're going through? Stand up on your feet, my brother and sister. Stand up. Whatever you're facing tonight really doesn't matter. What circumstance is it? How difficult is it in natural human terms? Well, you got to get your mind off of that. Here's our last scripture for tonight. It's Romans 8:11. I'll just read it to you. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Oh, my friend, that's good news for you and I, because that means that the resurrection, the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is now contained in bodily form. Oh, if you're a believer tonight, on the inside of you, oh, that resurrection power is down on the inside of you. And the Bible says he will quicken your mortal body. You said, but I need healing. He'll quicken you with healing. Somebody said, but I need peace. He'll quicken you with peace. Someone said, but I need strength. He'll quicken you with strength. Someone said, but I need direction. He'll quicken you with direction. Oh, he'll quicken your mortal body if you'll believe it. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is on the inside of you right now. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Father, thank you so much for your word tonight. Oh, he's a miracle worker. He's an awesome God. And as you're there with your head bowed, your eyes closed, listen, God's been so good to you, I know. But I just want to give a quick invitation. If you're here tonight, you've never received Jesus as your Savior. Oh, man, he died for you. He died so that you wouldn't have to face eternal judgment, face eternal hell. Jesus took stripes upon his back for you to be healed. His blood was shed. He was bludgeoned for you to be forgiven. Anybody here tonight, raise your hand and say, pray for me. I'm not sure what would happen if I died tonight. Is there anybody here like that? Just wave your hand at me real big. Anybody here like that? Is there anybody here tonight? Secondly, and you say, I'm a Christian, but I'm not walking with God. I'm not living the way I should be, and I want to get right with God tonight. Someone is tugging at my heart and I want to make it right. Let me see your hand tonight. You say, I want to get right with God. I'm a Christian. I'm living for God. And I'm not living for God. I'm not living for God, but I want to. I want to make it right. Is anybody here like that tonight? Thank you. Thank you. Show me where you're pointing. Okay. Over here. Okay. All right. Anybody else? You say, I want to make it right. I want to get right with God. I want to get right with God tonight. I don't want to go another day. I don't want to go another moment without making it right with the Lord. While you were preaching, the Lord is getting my attention. The Lord is getting my attention, and I want to make it right with him. I want to make it right. Let me see your hand in here. Come on. It's not too late. If you'll be honest with God, the Bible says if you won't harden your heart when you hear him, his voice, if you won't harden his heart, the Lord will help you. He'll speak to you. Jesus said in Luke, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Here's what I want you to do. If you raised your hand or you should have raised your hand, I want you just to boldly, just get out of your seat. Just come right on down here. Come right on down here. I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to give you some free material. Come right on down here. Just get out of your seat. Whoever you are, come on down here and we're going to pray for you, and you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. Listen, if you didn't raise your hand, but you know that you needed to, just slip right out of your seat and come right on down here. Whoever you are, come on down here. Hallelujah. Let's just come on down here. You know the Lord's dealing with you. You raised your hand. You should have raised your hand. All right. Father, thank you so much. Father, whoever we're speaking of tonight, we just leave them in your hand, and we pray that they won't be able to sleep or eat or drink or do anything until they respond to your Holy Spirit. Thank you for helping people tonight. Thank you for helping our online viewers, whatever they need from God, all of these who are in this audience. Thank you, Father. Well, whatever situation, circumstances, scenarios they're facing, Father, we thank you. Nothing's too difficult for you. Whatever the problem, whatever the situation, Father God, help them to turn it over to you. To get the reality of your word, the promise of your word in whatever area it is, get that in their heart and their mouth. Thank you for delivering, healing, touching, helping your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.